Okay, so first we'll try to finish up section 3 and then move on to section 4 in Makoros. So again, as we've been discussing in section 3, we've basically been discussing a number of different exceptions to the din about Makteris. So we started off with the exception of Ava Laben. We then moved on last year discussing the issue of Suffolk about Makteris, which is a potential exception, most likely an exception, but not so clear. So then tonight we're going to hopefully quickly finish the last two potential exceptions to Baal Makteris. So the first one we're going to discuss tonight is the exception coming off of an unklus. What is the exception suggested by the unklus? If there are Aiden. Exactly. So what's the scenario of Aiden which would be an exception, presumably? Push pshat.
The one that God will have to kill.
Exactly. So before, take it slow. So in short, right, the third general exception that we're going to be discussing tonight is the issue of Yesh Edim. Right? If there are Edim present, we have to see exactly what that means, but if there are Edim present somehow, that's an exception. So this comes off the Unklus, again, Shemos, Chav Be, Perich Chav Beis, Pasuk Beis. So again, on the Pasuk of Imzarcha Hashemesh, a love, Damim Lo, that if, you know, literally, you know, the sun shines on the Ganav, then Damim Lo, meaning he's not Chayiv Misa. So the Unklus explains Imzarcha Hashemesh as follows, that Im Ina De Sahajya Naflis Alohi. Right? That basically, if the eyes of Edom literally fall upon the Ganav. So in essence, the Unklus is saying that an exception to the din of Baal Machteres is if there are Edom who witness the Baal Machteres coming in. So, as Eli pointed out, the way Rashi explains, seems to be the pashtus of the Unklus, is that what's the case again? Why do Edom seeing the Ganav somehow prevent the Chiyav Misa? Why is there no din misa of the Baal Machteres when Edom see him? And therefore he will not. Exactly. Exactly. The point is, once the Ganav is exposed, once Edom see the Ganav, the Baal Machteres coming in, he realizes, right, he's exposed, right? There's no chance he's going to be able to get away with murder, literally, in this case, right? So, in this case, once he realizes that he's been spotted, he's been seen by Edom, therefore he's not going to have any intentions of killing, even if the Baal Bayis stands up to him, because he realizes if he kills, he's going to be caught by Edom, and you know he's not willing to die for it. This is Rashi. This is Rashi's interpretation of Unklus. So therefore, in this case, where the Edom basically spot the Ganav, and then they basically warn the Baal Bayis and say, okay, we saw the Ganav, we know he's no longer going to kill you, so therefore, if you, Baal Bayis, kill the Ganav, you're going to be Chayv Misa. So therefore, Imzar HaShemesh Olav Damim Lo is basically saying, in that case, if the Baal Bayis, despite the Hasra of the Eden who had seen the Ganav, and if the Baal Bayis, despite that Hasra, goes ahead and kills the Ganav, that Baal Bayis is going to be Chayiv Misa, because Damim Lo, that Ganav, has Damim, and therefore there is no Rishus.
The Baal Bayis gets his sweat.
Yes. If after the Edom see the Ganav, and they basically spotting the Ganav basically neutralizes, you know, the Chazaka and the option of him killing. So once that's the case, then they're going to warn the Baal Bayis, and now the Baal Bayis, if the Baal Bayis, despite the warning, goes ahead and kills the Ganav, they're going to be put to death.
What do you want to say that the Baal Bayis, the one who's going to get the Pashtus?
Yes.
It was never about defending yourself from the Ganav killing. The Baal Bayis is the one who decided to go first. So how do you explain
that? So it could be that this is going according to Rashi's who explained the Unklus, but again, Rashi is going himself holds the Pashas that the Ganav is the one who raises the stakes, so therefore his explanation works out well. You're right, according to the Shiran, it'd be a little more difficult. Yeah.
Well, it's not as a reaction, but
So again, as a reaction?
As a reaction to the Baha'i's club is done, the Gaon overrules the Gaon's response, so therefore
it was not. It was our excuse.
Of course
it
would. Why would he get killed? He doesn't care about Edom. He'd get killed.
One more time?
He said that if he's threatened by death,
yeah.
He's not murdered at all.
Okay. So then quickly, I...
So how is the other approach we don't miss? The approach that is the Baha'i's?
Well, we're about to see an alternative right now. So the Ramban, on the spot, basically rejects Rashi's explanation of Unklus. I think it's a hard read, but basically, in short, Ramban points out that the reason why Rashi's Pshat Unklus is difficult is because Rashi's Pshat Unklus is basically establishing that the pasuk of Imzarcha Hashem is Allah Damim Yeshlo is basically establishing that, oh, in this case, you know, there are Edim which warn the Baal Habayis. Right? Sounds like in contrast to the first pasuk of Inlo Damim. Basically, the Ramban points out that can't be, because if there is no Hasra to the Baal Habayis, even in the case of Inlo Damim, so then there's no, you don't need the Chiddush of the pasuk of Inlo Damim to pater, you know, the Baal Habayis from Misa, because if the Baal Habayis didn't receive Hasra, then, right, whenever you kill someone without Hasra, you're not going to be a Chayav Misa. I don't want to get too involved with that. Isn't that right?
Can't you without me if there's no, if you weren't over an Isser?
Yes. I don't know about that. Basically, the Ramban assumes that the Inlo Damim is just a Patur Misa, and therefore he asks, what do you mean, you know, there'd be a Patur anyways? You're right. If you take an alternative understanding of Inlo Damim, that it's not just, you know, a Patur Misa, but like, Mamish Adab or Katila Katal, so then you could have justified, yeah. I guess the point is, like, if I. But it sounds like, according to Unklus, like, you know, that there are Edom here. It sounds like that's the very.
Edom saw the
God. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could have said that. No, come on. But either way. Zurban himself, it's not questioning, I don't want to get too involved because the bigger picture is not, you know, the biggest issue. Is the Ramban himself offers an alternative to Unklus, where he basically says that not if Edom see, you know, the Ganav beforehand, and thereby warn the Baal Habayis beforehand, it's rather talking about if Edom basically are there afterwards, meaning that if Edom come along, let's say, to Beis Din, and tell Beis Din, oh, by the way, we saw this, Val Machteres, right, the case where the Ganav went in the house, didn't end up killing, then left. Now the Edom want to take that Baal Machteres to court and say, oh, he's Chayav Misa. So basically the point of the Pasuk, the Damim Lo, is coming to say that, no, the Chayav Misa of a Baal Machteres is only Kolzman that he is a threat to the Baal Habayis. Kolzman that he's, you know, on the attack. But after the fact, right, after he doesn't end up killing, and he ends up leaving the Machteres without having done anything, which is Chayav Misa, so then even if Edom come and say, oh, come to Beis Din and say, oh, by the way, this is the Baal Machteres, Damim Lo, that Ganav will still have Damim, he's not going to be Chayav Misa, because he didn't do anything, which is Chayav Misa. So again, what this Ramban highlights in this alternative shot in Unklus, is that the basis of Misa for a Baal Machteres is either the imminent danger, either the pikuach, as we developed the first year, either it's the pikuach, the imminent pikuach nefesh to the Baal Habayis, or it's the fact that he's a shein rodeh. But both of those options of the pikuach nefesh, that's for sure, that whether it's the pikuach nefesh or the shein rodeh, both of those factors are limited to the time where he's actually, you know, on the attack. But after the event unfolded and he didn't end up killing, he didn't end up doing anything which is chayav misa. And therefore, that's the way the Ramban understands as well. Correct, exactly. After the fact. But again, in short, that was just like a more of a side point. But in short, so far, in terms of the exception of there being Edom, you have Unklus, as explained by Rashi, which is basically saying there's an exception to Baal Machteres in a case where the Edom expose the Ganav beforehand. Just like one more marker, and then we'll move on. The second makor. Second Rishon who paskins this exception of Yesh Lo Edom is the Rambam. Anybody has the Rambam? Hilchos Geneva Perek Tes. Dov is always my man. Hilchos Geneva Paraktes Halacha Yud
Aleph.
What?
The
thing Hagana should go to the Yatar, right? Yes, to go. See the Chen in Eden?
Yeah, so the
Chen in
Eden.
Oh, Bnei Adam. Oh, okay. In
Mikifu Eden. In Mikifu Bnei Adam, or Eden.
Okay.
If people are drowning in more Eden, see. How about Misha Dain, who is just Zed Shabbat, he was still in the resistance between Hakki and area that
you even though he's still on the attack, even though he's still on the attack, he's still on the Machteres, is willing, he's ready to go, still ain't on Erech. So, and what's the basis of that? Exactly, same idea, presumably, as Rashi B'Shem Unkelis, that once the Baal Machteres has been exposed, has been spotted by Edom, basically that neutralizes the Chazaka, he no longer has in mind to kill because he's been spotted. And then the Rambam adds, in Tzarech Lomar.
In Tzarech Lomar, in the reason, in there. If he's brought the reason...
After the fact. Which is, with whose point? Which? That's the Rambam's point. So again, the Rambam here sort of combines. I mean, first he quotes the...
If you bring the reason, he's already not that...
Exactly, that's the first part of the Rambam. That's the Rambam.
No, in the Rambam he said that. You kind of dance a gun up. You've been already stole. That's how he's already been opened up. So it seems that since it's full tackle, automatically it's game over.
Yeah, that's the same point. So in short, the Rambam here, basically in Hilchos Geneva Paraktes, Halacha Yud Aleph, basically quotes both Rashi's conception of Unkelis and the Rambam's conception. Again, they're not mutually exclusive. They're both could be Peturim. Basically, first quotes the exception that if the Ganav has been spotted by people or Edom, so again, that's going to stop him in his tracks. That's going to prevent him from being, you know, from intending to kill. I.e., that's Rashi's Pshat Unkelis. And then he adds, so too, also, you know, the Ramban's Pshat, that if after the fact, you know, Edom bring the Baal Machteres to Bezin and say, oh, by the way, this guy was Baal Machteres, Bezin's not going to put him to death because, again, at that point he poses no imminent danger. So on this Rambam, the Ravid points out and connects the Ravid points out that the Rambam is passing like Unkelis. It says the fact that the Rambam passing is this exception that when the Ganav is spotted by Edom that there's no Chiyah Misa, the Ravid says, must be that the Rambam is accepting Unkelis's, you know, Pshat in the Pasuk of Imzarcha Alav HaShemesh as referring to Edom. Fine, that will take questions.
Yeah, it's also similar to the Rambam. It's Pasuk, if you grew up next to the Rubin, obviously not.
Good question. Yeah. We're going to see in the Sugya of Rodef next, two Sugyas, if you guys are still around, whoever's still around then, that there's a tzad that the Chiyav of a Rodef is, you know, the Chiyav Misa of a Rodef is not Midin Hatzalas on Yerdaf, not Midin of the, you know, Kuch Nevesh of the Yerdaf, but rather like it's a Chiyav of Misa Feitin. What that
Midin when he's no longer.
No, so that's generally when he's doing it, and the way it's you know said is that because the act of being rodev after someone else, that action is chayav misa. So again, it's not post facto. So that's the added jump. And I'm saying, but once you have on the books that you can conceive of a redifus laharob as something which is subject to chayav misa. So you can say, once that's an act of Sabbath Chiyavisa, perhaps it'll be afterwards. So Kamash Malan, that no, it's a, perhaps, either you say it's not at all Chiyavisa, it's not at all Chiyavisa Bezin, or you say, it's a unique Chiyavisa Bezin, which is limited to, you know, Bishayta. But again, so that there is, we'll see, again, it's going to relate to some of the Shakra Chayavisa Bezin, which we'll deal with soon, that some Havnias, which imply that the Misa of Abba Machteres is Midin Misa Bezin, and therefore you have to say that somehow that the act of intending to kill itself is chayav misa.
Why do we say on the shot that babies are Edom, then there's no chazaka of alibis in alibis not in Asal Habibona? We said in Baba Tama of Zayinel that, like, if alibis is a burning clothes, then don't care if he's going to bring the beds anywhere. So here, when we have Edom, also we said alibis is going to wear something stuff.
Interesting. I like that. That's a deal.
Also, on that point, if we care about people being Nesod Hashem, matter once gone.
If you care about people,
if we care about if like people care about Nesod, it shouldn't matter once he leaves. Once the Ganav leaves, because then the Baal Bais should still presumably chase after him.
Okay, so yeah, we're gonna see. That's gonna be a discussion. We'll see that in Yerushalmi in a later context. But yeah.
That was before. Some school considered him a rode, and it's called him a vagrant. It's like, you need to know, we need to be told around that we don't kill this rode from this.
Okay, again, that's before, not afterwards. It's a little bit of a thought, but you're saying
this. This is saying, no, this is definitely before. You go back there, you bring the basin,
don't kill. But afterwards, then. You bring the basin after he does it.
After he kills everything?
Yeah. After he's done.
Why does that be after he kills? He said, instead of.
Forrest doesn't really got.
Instead of killing him in the tunnel, just took it out and burned the basin.
But that's after. By the time you get the basin, then.
Yeah, but.
Everything.
Yeah.
Okay, that'd be it. Yeah. Last question.
Isn't that that's not another stage how Rashi is in the plus to tell you that Ein Lodamim at the Baal Bais is higher if he kills.
Ein Lodamim is that you're not high.
Oh, the positive of this is going
on. Oh, it's Yesh Lodamim.
I mean that the Baal Bais is high for killing him.
Yeah.
And how Ramban says it means that the Baal Bais, that the Baal of Maharas the Halif in court.
You know, he says, if you look very carefully, it's both. It's saying, Yish lo damim, meaning the Ganav has damim, and therefore he can't be killed in court, and he can't be killed by the Baal Bais. He says both.
He can't be killed by the Baal Bais, because the Baal Bais has no damim.
No, after the fact. Ramban says, after the fact, he's not going to be killed in Basin, and he can't be killed by the Baal Bais either. So he says both. Okay, so, all right, Akan was the third exception that we've been discussing, the exception of if there are Eden. Fine. Last and final exception, I'll do very quickly, is, Amram would be happy about this, I think you're mechavin to this at a point, basically where the Rishonim say that Yom is an exception. Right, because why?
Sorry,
last time be at work.
What?
Working.
Exactly. Working. I think Amram said something of along those lines. What? I'm not exactly sure which point, but either way, just so. Yeah, so short, the fourth exception in the books, and we'll see if we've shown him in a second, is that the din of Baal Machteres doesn't apply biyom. And the Rishon who says this is the Ravid. The Ravid says, David was like, discussing this about Yotsumi de Pshuto. Basically, the Ravid says, even though the Brisa and the Gemara takes him Zarko Lava Shemesh in a midrashic way to say that, that you're certain that he comes to kill, or he doesn't come to kill. Rabbi says still that, the im mikra yotze mide pshuto, the pshat is still the pshat, and the pshat the pasuk, the Zarko Lava Shemesh, it sounds like we're talking about daytime. And therefore it's coming to tell us, says the Rabbi, that during the daytime, damin alav, why? So it explains the Ravid that during the daytime the Ganav doesn't think that the Baal Bais is home, and therefore when he's going to steal, he doesn't think there's a he doesn't expect, so he doesn't anticipate a confrontation such that that triggers a chazaka where therefore since he expects and since he anticipates the confrontation, therefore he's coming out das kain and therefore intends to kill. If he's coming during the day, he just assumes that the Baal Bais is at work, therefore he's intending just to steal. And therefore, if at this point, he gets caught by the Baal Bais, the Ganav is just going to flee. It's only at night when he knows that the Baal Bais is home, and yet if he still comes, despite knowing that the Baal Bais is home, it must be that he's willing, ready and willing and able to, confront the Baal Bais by killing him. So says the Ravid. So again, a very interesting idea that even though he admits that the Gemara darshan's the psukim to teach another exception, in the case of Avala ben Alaav, he says, pshat is the pshat, it must be the drash is adding an additional layer, but not uprooting the pshat level interpretation, which is still, true. Lahalacha, which is Zarcha Hashemesh, if it's daytime, this whole din doesn't apply, because there's no chazaka in such a case. And another achron, just do this quickly, another achron who accepts implicitly... What?
That
no. That was the Ravid. Another Mefarish. the following is an Achron, who implicitly accepts this assumption that Bamach Teres doesn't apply during the day, is the Chamer V'Chayim. Anybody get to that? I don't think so. Oh, I'll look it up. I don't think so. Anybody see the Chamer V'Chayim? You see it? It's not. You know, anyone remember offhand? We'll just do it quickly.
I think even Ezra also says
it's right here. Yeah, it's fine. In short, yeah, but what's, yeah, just quickly.
Read it?
Okay.
That's it. So, Rabbi Gav just Shar wrote it in the theorem, and Shem Yachal, let's see about the Nevara, and Lahargo, even though, like, other Rodev, then, like, if you say that, like, if you don't say one of his limbs, you don't kill him, but I'll say, nah, nash, I'm there. This is why Yamin was punished. Abu Rabbah on Teres, Lo Metzinan Kuli Hai, Kevin the Lila who in the Yochel is actually called Ach Balabayas, Ech Yatzel is also the men of Bevan Eivar. Now it's night, you can't save him from what, he's not able, it's like hard for him, we can't say you save him from all his limbs, but it's hard for him, and therefore we say you don't save him now.
So in short, what is the...
So Rabbi is saying that it only applies at night, because if it would be by day, we'd say...
That would be before getting to the Diyuk. What is the Chamer V'Chayim saying?
Are they doing the night to see the God until it comes to get to $1?
No, only saying the night to get
right. What's the discrepancy that he's noting between the classical din of Rodev and the din of Bamach Teres?
Rodev, you...
Yachol Hatzel B'Echa Me'evar.
You can't kill him in my house, you have to.
Exactly. By Rodev, the general din is that you only kill the Rodev as a last resort. You only kill the Rodev if there's no other way to save the Nirdav. But if Yachol Ahatzil Echa Me'ivarav, if you're able to save the Nirdav by shooting him in the arm or in the leg, and that'll stop the Rodev from chasing the Nirdav, so then that's what you're supposed to do. But yet the Chamer V'Chayim points out, we don't lo matzinu that this limitation applies to Bamach Teres. So he explains the reason for that, the reason why we don't find this qualification that Yachol Hatzel Me'achem Me'ivarav, that you're not supposed to kill about Bamach Teres, is because...
Because that it's hard, if it, when it's at night, it's hard to...
hard to shoot.
Maybe a candle?
Midakim. Basically, because Bamach Teres is dealing with the nighttime, and at nighttime, it's more... You can't be... You know, it's in a Yachol Hatzel Me'achem Me'ivarav. You can't just, you know, pinpoint, you know, your shotgun and shoot him in the leg, because it's hard to see. But the implicit assumption of the Chamer V'Chayim is that what? The din of Bamach Teres, like the Ravid, is limited to nighttime. Because if the din of Bamach Teres applied in the daytime, so then there would be a possibility of Yachol Hatzel Me'achem Me'evarav, and then you should find that din applying to Bamach Teres. So in short, in addition to the Ravid, the Chamer V'Chayim, you know, agav this comment about Yachol Hatzel Be'achem Me'evarav, it emerges in the Chamer V'Chayim that he's also assuming that din of Bamach Teres is limited to the nighttime. And presumably it's based on the same idea that the only time the chazaka of Rabbah applies, the only time the ganav intends to kill, is when he's attacking at night, when he assumes that the Baal Bayis is going to be home. And therefore he's expecting and anticipating confrontation. Not during the daytime, where if he goes during the daytime, he assumes that he's not going to expect a confrontation. Yeah.
It is possible, isn't it possible to learn the Chamer V'Chayim in a way? And to say that you don't know when the Baal Bayis is going to come, so it could be coming from the day, and it could be coming come from the night. Therefore, you can't make a general call that you only kill him.
No, the general call is, in Yachol Hatzil, Be'echa Me'evarav, then you do some. So, you should have just said that if there's a possibility by Bamach Teres, i.e., if it comes during the daytime, and it's Yachol Lahatzel Be'echa Me'evarav, so then you should do so.
Say it's by Rodi, sir. At night,
but But the fact that it doesn't... Basically, the Chamer V'Chayim is basically saying is that basically, in all cases of Bamach Teres, it's Yachol Lahatzel Be'echa Me'evarav. So, in order to say that, and he justifies that by saying, yeah, because at nighttime you can't tell. So the assumption...
You would call a stand boy walks to the door at night, Bamach Teres.
Well?
If he's saying the only reason one of you was to kill Bamach Teres right away, because you don't know if you're in the aim cut when you shoot.
Correct, because it's at night. If a rodef was also at night, it would also be Efsher. Yeah. But the point is, but a rodef applies during the day, so therefore, the din of Yachal Hatzal Nefnevar is on the books. Since Bal Matheras only applies at night, therefore it's not on the books, because it's never going to be the case.
Even at night, there could be cases about Yachal Hatzal.
But I think he's saying, because generally that's not the case, so there's...
It's not that it didn't apply, it's not
exactly. I think that's what he's saying. Okay. Alkan is section 3 with all the exceptions. So now we're moving on to a more, an even more, you know, longish section of the Sugya, which is the nature of the Chiyav Nisa. And we're going to see the number of the Hava Mina Maskanos, and Ayin Beis and the Beis, and the Shachar Batarya there, right, again, the number of the Hava Mina Maskanos and Ayin Beis and the Beis dealing with, like, you know, the timing and scope of the Chiyav Nisa are all going to be, you know, very reflective of the nature of the Chiyav Nisa of Bal Matheras. So therefore, it's important to analyze each of these topics, Ayin Beis and Beis, you know, in isolation, both the Hava Mina and Maskana, to try to glean from these different stages, you know, the lumdas behind the nature of the Chiyav Nisa for a Bal Matheras.
What do you mean nature?
What's a good definition of nature?
It's
character.
Mahus,
meaning the character of
basic inherent features of something.
What?
Wave function.
Something like that, yeah. Maybe you're like the nature of something? It's, you know, it's defining characteristics. It's something along those lines.
Modus operandi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay, fine. Okay, so let's analyze each of these topics on IBAs and IBAs in isolation. So the first one's going to be the application of the Din Misa on Shabbos. So let's read this very important Shachar Batarya. Ayin Beis and Beis. Starting with the, see like, see six lines down from the top. Tana Rabbanan. Elisha, would you mind? Tana Rabbanan. I was about to tell you to read it loudly enough, but... You're good. Yeah. Baruch Hashem, yeah.
Tana Rabbanan.
Yeah.
It says,
exactly. So in the case where there's no Chiyav Misa, there's no Chiyav Misa, Bein Bechol, Bein Mishav. We'll get to that next time.
In the case where he's
Potter, there's Chiyav Misa. Yeah, Chiyav Misa.
Exactly.
But you kill him, Bein Bechol, Bein Mishav. This
neither the case that the Einler Domin that the Gemara Darshan Ben Machol Ben Mishabos, we need the case it's just like a day to Chavir no need the Abi Aruge Beis and the Mishabos like that come out alone the Katlina.
Oh, okay. Stop there. So what's the Havmina? Just in words, we'll analyze in a second. What's the Havmina? You know, that you wouldn't apply on Shabbos. Why?
Because Aruge Beis they don't get killed on Shabbos.
Exactly. Right. Beis Din does not administer Unshe Beis Din on Shabbos. So therefore, you would think that Bal Matheras is similarly an Onish Basin, again, very significant. Havmina, Kamash Malam de Katzlinan, right? That you do kill even on Shabbos. So we're going to have to analyze the Havmina and Maskana. Oh. So again, generally, you're supposed to analyze the Havmina before the Maskana. In this context, we're going to analyze the Maskana first, and then, because we'll see the two different Mahalachim and the Maskana, we're going to shed light on what exactly is the transition from the Havmina to the Maskana. So starting with the Maskana, and the question is, what is the basis of the Maskana to extend the Din Misa of the Bal Matheras to Shabbos? So what's the classical understanding, as seen in Rashi? Why, what's the basis, what's the justification for putting the Bal Matheras to death even on Shabbos?
Shabbos.
Pikuach Nefesh, exactly, and we read this in the past, the basis of Rashi on the spot, Kamash Malan, exactly, basically, says that. Are you sure? Yeah. The ones Kamash Malan, the Katzlina Mishum Bikuach Nefesh Deheya. Right? But the reason why you put the Bal Matheras to death, even on Shabbos, is because of the Bikuach Nefesh of the Balabayas. So Rashi. I'll get there in a second. So Rashi says that, and the Yad Ramah, as we've read in the past, also say this. And again, if you recall, this is in the first Shir on the Sugya, we basically quoted this Rashi and the Yad Ramah as evidence that the basis of the Din Misa For Bal Machteres, the Mechayev of his Misa is the din of Pikuach Nefesh. Again, this is where it comes from. Rashi the Adraman, the Maskana, in justifying the application of the din Misa to Shabbos, they invoke the din of Pikuach Nefesh, that Pikuach Nefesh is even Doche Shabbos. So again, it's important to note that the implication of these shittos seem to be that even though, it's an important point, that even though the killing of the Bal Machteres has the din of Ritzicha, even though the killing of the Bal Machteres is a din Ritzicha, even so, that Mais Ritzicha is mutter because of Pikuach Nefesh, i.e., the factor of Pikuach Nefesh is Doche, the Isser of Ritzicha. Fine. So related to this idea, where basically you have a proof, similarly, that there is a din ritzicha here, but yet you have a pikuach nefesh, which needs to be doche, the isser ritzicha. This comes from the Gemara Yuma Pehe, right? The Gemara Yuma Pehe in the Havamina, when it's looking for a makor for the din of pikuach nefesh, doche Shabbos, it quotes the din of Amachteres, and says that just like pikuach nefesh is doche, the isser of ritzicha, so too pikuach nefesh can be doche, the isser of Shabbos. So, the Kovet Shirim, as we read it in the past, again, this is the Kovet Shirim in Psachim Oz Dalet, again, a line which we didn't focus on in the past, I was discussing this with Meir, basically, that Rav Chanan points out that the Pasha Pshan of the Gemara, right, the fact that the Gemara uses, in the Havamina at least, Bamach Teres as the basis for Pikuach Nefesh Doche Shabbos, so that seems to assume, the Gemara seems to assume, that the Ritzicha, the killing of the Bal Machteres, has a shame Ritzicha, is defined as a Ritzicha, but yet the Gemara is saying that Pikuach Nefesh is Doche the Ritzicha. And only if that's the way you learn Bal Machteres, there is a shame Ritzicha, but yet Pikuach Nefesh is Doche Shabbos, only if you take such a perspective, can you then use Bal Machteres as a potential makor for the fact that the din of Pikuach Nefesh could be Doche other Yisurim, such as Shabbos. So in short, Rav Chanan's understanding of the Gemara Yuma supports this Rashi and Yad Rabbah, that the factor is Pikuach Nefesh, which needs to be Doche, the Isser Ritzicha, because even the killing of a Bal Machteres has the din of Ritzicha. As you can tell, we're foreshadowing the second approach here. Oh. So again, first approach, that it is a Shem Ritzicha, but it's Mutter on Shabbos because Pikuach Nefesh is Doche, the Isser Ritzicha. The second approach is presented by the Meir. Anybody get a chance to see the Meir? What does the Meir say?
He's like a dead man.
Exactly. So I'm going to read the line because a lot of guys didn't see it. But the Meir, in justifying why we put the Bal Machteres to death even on Shabbos, he says as follows. The Meir, this is Ayin Beis and Beis in the spot. Even though generally, right, we do not put some, Bezin doesn't put someone to death on Shabbos. Bezu hitiru. In this case, of putting the Bal Machteres, we were matir. Why? Shekemeshu the ain lo damim klal. Again, shekemeshu. It's as if he's a dead man, the ein lo damim klal, and it's as if he has no blood. I.e., pashas in the iri, not that there is a shem ritzicha, but pikuach nefesh is docha the shem ritzicha, but rather the b'chi ha-gavna, when it comes to the Bal Machteres, the pasuk of ein lo damim establishes that he's a gavra katila, to the extent that when you put him to death, it's as if that the putting him to death lacks a shem ritzicha.
Well,
what?
Okay,
we're gonna get there. Hold off 1 second. We're gonna get to that.
Why
was that? Oh, okay, yeah, right now. So the Meiri. So the Meiri. Right, what's coming out of the Meiri? The fact that the Meiri justifies the Maskana not based on pikuach nefesh being doche the ritzicha, but rather by saying there's no shame ritzicha at all. Right, and the obvious question Baruch pointed out is that why doesn't he just say pikuach nefesh? So this ties back to the beginning of the sugya. It seems like the Meiri could be our earliest source, except for perhaps the Rif, that perhaps there's no din of pikuach nefesh when it comes to bat machteres. And the mechayiv of Misa for bat machteres is not the pikuach nefesh of the Baal HaBayis. I am sham for to see the notes for why that's true. But rather the mechayiv is the shem rodef of the bat machteres. And because the Meiri doesn't think the din of pikuach nefesh is applicable to our case about machteres, he therefore has to justify the application of the misas about machteres to Shabbos by saying that ein lo damim establishes that it's as if he's a dead man, and therefore it's as if there's no shame ritzicha at all. You're killing him to put him actually, meaning he was a dead man, therefore he's supposed to be dead. Therefore, halakhically, we consider him dead on the basis of. Why do you kill the Bamakaris?
Yeah.
That's like the Shem Rodef. Okay. Remember the beginning of the Sugya we developed? Remember Varsny or Shach developing an approach that you can justify the Misa of the Bamakaris without Pikuach Nefesh, but rather just the Shem Rodef of the Bamakaris. So again, this might be an important Rishon who supports that Mechudosh approach that there's no din of Pikuach Nefesh, because again, if the Meiri thought that there was a din of Pikuach Nefesh, so presumably there's a much easier way of explaining this Maskana. Okay.
Don't we say that every person who's on a Ruby Mason is Bar Katala?
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. Yeah.
There's also
you don't have to kill him. Oh, that's just Rishus, you say? Oh, okay. Oh, Miri himself says Rishus also. Yeah. So. And most Rishonim do. Okay, so I just want...
What would be the svara that it's Mechal, not called Ritzicha?
Okay, so... basically, it's a pshat on the pasuk. There's a concept called Gavra Katila. Right? There's a concept in halacha called gavra katila that someone is considered a dead man.
But whether if you tell me that it's a tzalas anirda for one, or whether if you tell me that it's a din stam that he has a din of rotzeach, we never found that a guy that he has a din of rotzeach on him becomes like in loydami. Like what was mischadish?
Well, the pasuk is mischadish.
I'm saying what's the svar?
Yeah. Well, I'm saying that. In general, the notion of gavra katila is that when someone is omid, that's what it sounds like. But we're going to explain in a moment, right now, what makes b'machteres unique from other haruge basins. So we'll get that right now, which is in short what Amram was about to ask. That's why sometimes I deliberate whether I should just say it or either way. But either way, so the big question on this Meiri is sort of what Amram's asking, sort of what Elisha's asking, is why don't you apply this din of Ein Lo Damim to all Haruge Basin? Right, if the basis of the Ein Lo Damim being a Gavra Katila is the fact that he's omid to be killed, so then that applies to all Haruge Basin. All right, is that another way of asking your question related to it? What? Meaning, the Meiri is basically saying that the reason why it's mut, right, even though generally Haruge Bezin, are not put to death on Shabbos, but Machteres is different because Ein Lo Damim. His question is, what's the basis of Ein Lo Damim? Well, yeah. Meaning, Ein Lo Damim, he has no blood, it's as if he's dead. Kimesu, he says both. So the big question we have to understand is, what makes Ba Machteres unique such that there is no problem of putting a Baal Machteris to death, while there is a problem of killing other Harugei Beis Din on Shabbos. What exactly is the difference? Right? If the Gavra Katila, you know, walking dead man idea of Baal Machteris that he's only to be put to death, then all Harugei Beis Din are only to be put to death. That's the whole point. Right? They're on the docket. Right? They're about to be killed. So why is it specifically in lo damim? Why the Chiddush Torah by Baal Machteris that the in lo damim here is that if you're dead, such that there is no problem of putting the Baal Machteris to death even on Shabbos. Trying to understand the Xeris Kasa. So Ribeiro, So Ribeiro Pivarsky has a very fascinating, gets back to David point. So Ribeiro Pivarsky has a very interesting idea. Any point? Pivarsky. Same. Okay. So Ribeiro Pivarsky develops an important idea that David was hinting at before. That the problem of putting Harugei Beis Din to death is not simply the fact that, you know, killing is a malach on Shabbos. Like shochet, right? Netzilas Hashama is a malach on Shabbos. It's not just that. What's the indication? Indication number one is that the Rambam and the Sefer Chinuch both count the Isser of putting Harugei Beis Din to death at their mona that as a separate lav. Separate from the classical lav of not doing malacha on Shabbos. Again, if the basis of the problem of putting Harugei Beis Din to death was just that, oh, you know, you're being over the malacha of shochet, and tilas neshama, so then it should be nichlal within the lamentas malachos. One of lamentas malachos is shochet, so this is part of that. So again, the indication, the fact that the Rambam and Sefer Chinuch place, you know, this isser of putting a, you know, Harugei Beis Din to death as a separate mitzvah, that is an indication that it's a separate din. Indication number one. What?
Mitzvah or lav?
Well, it is a lav, and the Rambam counts it in the lav, and the Chinuch just doesn't divide by that.
Beis Din.
Right, Beis Din does not administer onshin on Shabbos, and the Rambam and the Sefer Chinuch count this klal that Beis Din not being ma'anish on Shabbos as a separate mitzvah. That was indication number one. Indication number two is that this din, this isser of the Beis Din being manish on Shabbos, isn't limited to Misas Beis Din. It also applies to Malkus. And according to Ribeiro, it's not so clear that giving Malkus is nichlal in one of the Lamentas Malachas. So again, in short, what's coming out of these two indications, number one, being a separate, and the minyan of mitzvahs of being a separate mitzvah, slash lav. Number two, its extension to Malkus, which doesn't necessarily violate a specific, you know, of the malachos on Shabbos, so that indicates again that the basis of the Isser being of Beis Din being manish on Shabbos is a separate issue. And so, what is the nature of this Isser? So, Pivarsky tells us to look at the Sefer Achinuch and the Shrashim. So, in the Shrashim is very important. The Sefer Achinuch explains as follows. Again, why is there a problem being manish on Shabbos? Sefer Chinuch in Mitzvah Kuf Yud Dalet says as follows: Mishrashay haMitzvah, at the root of this mitzvah, Shiratza Hashem Yisparach lechabed hayom hazeh. Right, Hashem wanted to be mechabed, to give honor to the day of Shabbos. Sheyimtzu ubo menucha, so that there is menuchas Shabbos hakol for everybody. Gam hachotim v'haychayavim. Basically, Hashem wanted to facilitate menuchas Shabbos for all members of Klal Yisrael, including those who are chayav and onesh and Beis Din. So, therefore, in short, according to Sefer Chinuch, what's the basis of the iser of Beis Din administering onshin on Shabbos? Is because Shabbos is a day of menucha, and since it's the day of menucha, everybody, it should be a day of menucha for every single member of society, every member of Klal Yisrael, including those who are chayev onshin. Oh. So says Ribeiro Pivarsky, you okay? Okay. So says Ribeiro, That, again, we're going to need a little bit more work, but says Ribeiro, that the chiddush of Ein Lo Damim is that we consider the Balmach, the chiddush din of Ein Lo Damim is that we consider the Balmach Teres a mace, le'inyan zeh, that he is not subject to the inyan of Nuchas Shabbos. The whole basis of not putting, of not being, of not administering an onish bezdin on Shabbos is to facilitate the menuchas Shabbos for the particular individual. So then, the din of the pasuk of Ein Lo Damim, which establishes the bal machteres, is a mace. So ever since he's a mace, he's mufka from this notion, is excluded, removed from this notion of, you know, God facilitating his menuchas and nefesh.
Is there also shkita?
One second. And therefore, says Ribeiro, that's why, although we don't apply, right, although we don't apply, we don't administer onshin for all other harugei bezdin, we will administer an onish for this balmachteris, because Ein Lo Damim, he, Pasuk says he's a mace. Remember, he's a mace, he's mufka from this inyan of Nuchas HaShabbos, and therefore that takes away the whole iser of being ma'anish. But we, what still remains to be explained, what still remains to be explained is, again, why is Balmach Teres different? And you could seemingly apply the same like din of, oh, he's a mace, Ein Lo Damim, to all Harugei Bezdin. So again, what about, again, what's still missing from Pervarsky's presentation is that he just said, oh, Gzeres HaKasav, that Ein Lo Damim is a din mace, he's mufka from the Inyan of Menuchas Shabbos. So the question I think we still need to answer, is, but why exactly is it that specifically of all Harugei Bezdin, why is it that the Bamach Teres specifically, in contrast to all her other Harugei Bezdin, is specifically the one who is mufka from the Inyan of Menuchas HaShabbos? So let's just finish this and I'll take all questions. So I would like to suggest, just to, you know, to complete, you know, or Pervarsky's Mahalach, by adding the following. So perhaps, again, the reason why the Balmach Teres specifically is mufka from Menuchas HaShabbos, in contrast to all other Harugei Bezdin, because specifically the Balmach Teres, who performed his Balmach Teres, who was Balmach Teres, on Shabbos, exactly, forfeited his Menucha. I'll explain exactly what this means. Specifically the Balmach Teres, or the Rodev, who basically was Mevatel Menuchas Shabbos by chasing to kill another member of Klal Yisrael, specifically that Balmach Teres is the one who's been Mufka, who's had the din of Ein Lo Damim, and he's a mace, they mufka from the Inyan of Menuchas HaShabbos.
Okay.
And I think that this can be said in two different ways. One way, it's like a Midah Keneged Midah. Midah Keneged Midah. That if you're Mevatel the Inyan of Menuchas HaShabbos, you can't have that same Inyan of Menuchas HaShabbos come and save you. One way. A second way, which I prefer, is that once you, as a gavra, have been mechalel menuchas haShabbos, so then there's no kiyum, and once this person was already mevatel the menucha of this Shabbos, there's no longer a kiyum of not putting him to death in order to facilitate his menuchas haShabbos, because he was already mevatel his menuchas haShabbos. And if the whole basis of not putting him to death is so, to facilitate so that even this guy can have a Menuchas HaShabbos, but if he himself was already Mevatel Menuchas HaShabbos, so then there's no value in keeping him alive on that basis. So the first version of this is that it's like Midah Keneged Midah. Since he's Mevatel Menuchas HaShabbos, we can't have Menuchas HaShabbos come along and save him. The second version, I think, is a little even sharper, is that the whole kiyum of keeping him alive is in order to facilitate his Menuchas HaShabbos, but that is, there is no such value legabe this Balmach Teres who is already mevatel this Menuchas HaShabbos. Okay, I'm coming.
Vary and all.
Yeah.
So,
go around.
One, that second thing.
let's see, it works very well. This isn't like a maisa that's specifically not menucha shabbos. It's not that like, there's no menucha shabbos there, because he's clearly doing something.
Exactly.
That's what I mean. The second thing, how does this work with the lush of people?
Well, I'm working off the heels of Pharaoh Perversky, where he says when Enel Daman, meaning that he has a din mace, which a barrel develops, is a din mace, the gabe, the inyan of Ritzicha b'Shabbos. Meaning the inyan is din of not being ma'anish on Shabbos on the basis of facilitating menuchas on Shabbos, he has a din mace in regards to being mufka from that. That's the way he understands it. So I'm going on his heels, understanding, so why is it that specifically...
Why do we need any of this stuff? Can't we just say that it's imminent and therefore you have to do it now? It's not going to help you tomorrow or something where you're based in. You can just go tomorrow and that's what we do.
You're trying to explain in the
why is it the field of one of players is already based in? I wonder why it's called that or not. It doesn't help to
go up
there tomorrow.
He's already
going to be finished.
Isn't that just really going back to Rashi and Yad
Ramah? No. You
can
tie him up and
jump
tomorrow.
I'm saying, yeah, this is the Me'iri. I'm saying, as we discussed earlier, is by not invoking the factor of Pikuach Nefesh, seems to be assuming that Pikuach Nefesh is not a factor here. That's what I was saying before. At the end of the day, but meaning you're trying to justify. At the end of the day, how does the Me'iri justify the Heter putting it on Shabbos? He doesn't say because this is the only time to do it. That's not what he says. So you're asking on the Me'iri, now you're not asking on our interpretation of the Me'iri. Okay, we can shift the question. I mean, important, meaning. All I'm saying is that it's no longer a question on the explanation of the Me'iri, because the Me'iri gives his justification. He doesn't say, this is when the Pikuach Nefesh is. He doesn't say, you can't do it later. The Me'iri just says that, you know, he's a din of mace. So we're just trying to understand, so, on the heels of a barrel of perversity, of like, why is this idea of a din mace specific to Baal Matzah? Or within, you're right, that's an alternative. Then you're saying that what, then why don't you tie him up?
No, I'm saying the reason why you...
Oh, because you're saying there's no other option?
Yeah, that's what you're...
But again, if there's no pikuach nefesh...
Our kashrut, why we allowed
it?
But the kashrut wasn't why we...
Yeah, you're sort of asking the Gemara. You're asking the Gemara, meaning... Like, what if the Gemara, meaning, you're basically asking, okay, if you can't do it on Shabbos, so then what's going to happen? This is what you're asking. The Gemara is a Havmina. Is Rishus to kill him right now, if you can.
Oh boy, that's a Gavra Pikula.
The Havmina. So that, the Hamavit of the Gemara is that there's no heter to kill the Baal Matzah on Shabbos. Right? So you're basically asking a side question, which is a good question. Okay, done. Right? Now there's no excuse. Okay. You're basically asking a question of Gemara, meaning on the tzad that you can't put him to death on Shabbos, so then, like, what are you going to do? Well, in essence, the other side of your... Whoa, it's really late.
What? Well, I think that's what a hot meal of the
door. What is a hot meal? That's the basic asking.
There's no choice. It's the hard for the reason. It's 40 different cases. But no, it's in that danger.
So maybe the hot meal is that you... if there's any way... I don't know. I'm not sure. I just want to make sure I get this last... last part in, and then I'll take questions, and I'll stay afterwards, obviously, for anyone who has questions. So Amkan basically just explained the Maskana, and basically developed two different approaches to the Maskana. Again, the first normative approach is that the basis of the maskana to kill the Bamachteras on Shabbos is the fact of Pikuach Nefesh. The more mechudish approach of the Meiri is that no, the basis of the maskana is that it's not considered a Ritzicha at all. And we developed that at length. So now, let's go back to the Havmina. Right, the Havmina said, the reason why you can't kill the Havmina, not to be able to kill the Bamachteras on Shabbos, is because it's Dumya de Harigas Bezdin. So point number one, and which is really Pashit, this is developed by the Atike Yam, but it's really Pashit, that this Havamina is clearly taking a stand on the issue, which we're going to develop later in the Sugya of Rodev, that the nature of the Misa of a Bamachteres. So the big question whether the nature of the Misa of a Bamachteres is that simply a factor of Hatzalas HaNirdaf, Hatzalas HaBalabayas, or does it have the status of Haruge Bezdin. That's going to be a big discussion, Nafkamina for Hasra. We're going to discuss that in the context of Real Day. But it's clear from this Havamina that this Havamina is considering that the nature of Misas Bamachteres that it has the status of a Misas Bezdin. That's clear. Point number one. And the big question is going to be, does the Maskana fall off of that? But that's point number one. Point number two, now just to analyze the Havamina in light of the two different approaches in the Maskana. So according to the first approach, that the Maskana, right, that the Maskana is, that the basis of the Maskana is Pikuach Nefesh. So the question, what was the Havamina? So as we discussed in the past, the Havamina must have been, according to that approach, that the Havamina did not hold of the fact of Pikuach Nefesh. It must be, according to that first approach, that the factor of Bikuach Nefesh is only introduced in the Maskana, because Hagufa is a Chiddush of the Maskana, that because of the factor of Bikuach Nefesh, therefore Misas Bamachteres even applies on Shabbos. Maskana, the Havmina, obviously assumes that there is no din of Bikuach Nefesh. Again, so even according to this first approach, which thinks that the Maskana, the basis of the Misa, is Bikuach Nefesh, it would seem that even they have to admit that there must have been an alternative basis for the Misa of the Bamachteres other than Pikuach Nefesh in the Havamina. And therefore, even that approach is going to have to seemingly admit that the basis of the Misas Bamachteres in the Havamina was some type of, you know, Shem Rodev, which, you know, is without the factor of Pikuach Nefesh. So again, according to the first approach, proof of the transition from the Havamina to Maskana is whether or not the fact of Pikuach Nefesh is applicable to the case of Bamachteres. Havamina is that there's no Pikuach Nefesh. Seemingly, the basis of the Misa is Shem Rodev. Maskana is that no, the basis is not simply a Shem Rodev, but it's also this factor of Pikuach Nefesh, and that's how it justifies the Misa on Shabbos. According to the second approach of the Meiri, it's a little easier to understand. Again, according to the Meiri, there's never a factor of Pikuach Nefesh, bein the Havamina, bein the Maskana. So again, for the Meiri, basically the comparison to Haruge Bezdin seems to be applicable throughout. The only transition between the Havamina and Maskana is that the Maskana is Mechadish, this din, that the Bamachteres is Ein Lo Damim, as the din mace, which is Mufka, according to Perversky's explanation, which is Mufka from the Inyan of Haruge Bezdin, from the Inyan of Menuchas Shabbos. So that is the transition, according to the second approach, between the Havamina and the Maskana. I'm going to stop here. So the Havamina is that, yes, it's just like all Haruge Bezdin, which you can't, you know, just like you can't put a typical, you know, Haruge Bezdin to death, so too you can't put a Bamachteres. Kamash Mulam is a special din of Emo Domim that he's like a mace, that he's Mufka from that din. So we'll stop here so people can go to Musar, and I'll be happy to accept, to answer any questions.